96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Whenever there is a police-related shooting, we often hear much more from the community than we do from the police. Well, tonight we are talking to Vince Canales. He is the president of the Maryland Fraternal Order of Police. This is Police Week here in the D.C. Metro as well as around the nation. So we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about the deadly shootings of black men, the protests, the unrests, and how does all of this affect the image of the police. Lines are open if you have a question or comment at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Mr. Canales, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Police Week, a busy week for police officers, thousands of them certainly in D.C. There was actually an event held just a few blocks from the White House today, a memorial of sorts. What does this week mean to people like yourself, the officers, the men and women in blue?
It's an opportunity for us to basically all gather. We had approximately 140 officers over last year that actually we are now commemorating and actually putting on the wall the memorial that we have down here in D.C. It gives us an opportunity to honor them. It also gives us an opportunity to come back and fellowship and reflect on all those other officers who've gone before us. It's well over 20,000 police officers' names that are on that wall from throughout the world, actually, and ultimately it's our opportunity to basically come together, honor them for the service that they actually did for their communities, and to basically get together and honor those who just sacrificed themselves.
You are the president of the Maryland Fraternal Order of Police. What is your job specifically? What do you do?
Actually, I am the representative for over 21,000 police officers within the state of Maryland. Basically, I'm the chair for the hub for all law enforcement activities within the state of Maryland. We have approximately 78 lodges throughout the state, and actually those lodges, individual lodges, handle the day-to-day business.
Is that the same as the union, the police union?
The individual lodges actually represent are the unions for most of those agencies that they represent. I actually am just kind of the state hub and actually more of the legislative and the lobbying aspect of it on the state level.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. What is your opinion of the Freddie Gray incident?
Really, the only thing I can say about the Freddie Gray case is that it's currently being adjudicated. I mean, the state's attorney's made a decision. Those charges have been filed against the six officers. At this point, like we've been stating throughout this whole process, we're asking individuals to allow the officers to have due process. They'll have their day in court and an opportunity for all the facts to come out at that point in time. The incident in and of itself, in my opinion, doesn't really matter much on that.
Well, certainly your opinion matters because, like you just said, you represent some 21,000 police officers in the state of Maryland. Many of them, if not all of them, to be quite honest, cannot speak about this. And certainly they do have varied opinions. We have heard from the Fraternal Order of Police in Baltimore. They have said that they believe there's a conflict of interest, and certainly we could get into all kinds of issues regarding the adjudication issue. If you can't tell me what you think about it, can you tell me what other officers have shared with you?
I think amongst the rank and file, the officers that are out there right now, I mean, it's just a concern, you know, that we don't want to see a rush to judgment at this point in time. The process, we respect and honor the process. We basically are just waiting for the process to unfold. I think the bigger concern that officers have right now is just a concern that, you know, we don't want to see the violence occur again that occurred at the early part of the case itself when the riot started, and Baltimore. We want to see basically peaceful protests, but we don't want to see any more property damage or individuals being hurt in this process. And we're just asking individuals to allow the process, which does exist, to play out.
If you had a question for Mr. Canales, if you wanted to ask a police officer about the recent issues, what would you ask him? Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. One of the tragedies that we have seen just recently, the crime barely 2 days old, is the killing of two officers in Mississippi, in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Do you have any thoughts about that particular incident? Obviously, all reports suggested this began as a routine traffic stop.
This is something that our members basically deal with on a day-to-day basis. I mean, there's no such thing, and I know you've probably heard this before, of a routine call for service. The men and women that are out here doing this job on a day-to-day basis are responding to situations. They're coming into them as they already are probably in progress or starting to unfold. And anything can turn tragic pretty quickly, as we can see. And any loss of life is basically a tragedy. But, you know, you're talking about two officers in Hattiesburg that basically gave their life just before that. There was another officer in Pennsylvania who lost his life in a traffic accident. They're all unfortunate, and our hearts go out to everyone.
Before I go to the break, I want to ask you, with all of the kinds of unfortunate stories that we have seen about the police-involved shootings, what effect do you think that has had on morale?
I can tell you right now, the rank and file basically is, and it's probably more widespread national than I would just say limited to the state of Maryland or D.C. I think right now there's an undertone amongst the rank and file that basically is just, we feel like in certain instances we're being undervalued, certain instances criminalized in certain ways. All officers are being painted with a very broad brush as being violent or not necessarily in touch with what's going on in their communities. And I think that there are more stories than that are out there that show that our officers are doing a wonderful job. They're out here doing everything they can within the best of their ability, and that those relationships do exist within those communities, and we want to basically work on changing that image.
I need to take a break. We're going to go to the phone lines after the break at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking to Vince Canales, the president of the Maryland Fraternal Order of Police. What do police think about the deadly shootings of black men, those stories that we've heard so much about over the past year or so, the protests, the unrest, and how does this affect the image of police? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Don calling from Don, we lost you. Give me a call back. Chris calling from Indian Head. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Not too much. I want to say thank you, Vince, for your time and your service with the Prince George's County Police. I met you several times. I am currently a police officer. And just to touch on what you was asking with some police officers' mind is that all lives matter, black lives, white lives. But most importantly, we don't get the same press that the others get. Well, once a citizen is killed, just like in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, you don't see no protests, and you don't see any riots and no picketing, any of that. Or when a black-on-black is killed, you don't have the same outrage. One thing from the front line I'm speaking personally from, there's more confrontation towards us. Citizens and criminals are more confrontational than they were in the past. So you will have this this confrontation where we will have to go hands-on.
Okay.
And that's the sad part.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. Pamela, calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Good evening, and thanks for taking my call. And sure. I want to say to the police officer, thanks for putting your life on the line that like you do. But my question is, how come more decent police officers don't expose the rogue cops? They're there. How come the decent ones don't expose them?
That's an excellent question. Mr. Canales?
And I think part of the issue that we have to sit back and address is twofold. One is, when you talk about rogue officers and what and decent officers not basically exposing them, I mean, that's kind of a broad statement. Again, I mean, we're kind of basically saying that there's a segment out there and you assume that all officers basically are aware of who these individuals may be. I can tell you in my 21-year career as a Prince George's County police officer and my 6 years as the president there, and I know this fact to be factually accurate, no officer wants to work beside a bad cop. None.
But is there... apprehension on the part of an officer about exposing criminal wrongdoings of other officers? I mean, does it give an officer pause before he raises his or her hand?
I think during the majority of the training that goes on in the academy and throughout my career, the one thing I will sit and say is that most officers are fully aware of the fact that failing to make notification or failing to report bad behavior ultimately could lead to their termination. These officers are not out here doing this job and trying to cover up anything. At the end of the day, they have a responsibility not only to themselves but to their families and the communities they serve. So if there's an issue that does arise, I believe that in most instances, those cases are actually being presented to the department to be looked at and reviewed.
Well, I must say that often when we hear about police officer wrongdoing, if other officers are involved in pointing the finger at them, that's left out of the press release. We don't know that. We only hear about the wrongdoing. In your more than 20 years, have you ever heard of an officer saying these other officers are crooked? Have you ever seen it happen?
I have seen where officers have reported misconduct on other officers. I've actually, and it's similar to an investigation that goes on in most cases. There are facts that are not presented to the public that are basically contained within the investigation that ultimately will be utilized either in an administrative or a criminal investigation to, you know, administratively handle the case or in a criminal prosecution for them to be able to for court purposes in order to move that case forward.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Rosalia, Reverend Marshall. We're going to talk to Donna as well. Lines are still open. Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. The Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on WHUR 96.3. We'll be back on Sirius XM in just a few seconds.